Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, can you just imagine that for a moment? The eyes of this man who had experienced so much over the last little over 3 years. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew, say it with me, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know, sometimes we know several days ahead what we're going to minister, and sometimes it's come to me on the platform. I don't like for God to shave it that close. That really is a test of faith. But yesterday the Spirit of God spoke something into my heart, and I thought we'd be going in another direction in ministry. But God dropped this into my heart. The momentum of a miracle. The momentum, or the power, or the thrust. It's like the wind at your back. It's like the wind in the sails of a ship. The momentum, that awesome power, the push, the shove, the divine thrust, the power of a miracle. The question that I want to ask, and this is the question that God spoke to my heart. As Joe and I, we'd gotten something to eat, and I discovered something that I rediscovered in my heart, and God spoke it to my heart. Let me tell you one way to get real blessed. It's guaranteed. It will work every time if your heart's right. Find someone who is sick, or better yet, go to someone who is sick. You've seen them maybe often around the church, but they're not able to get here now for whatever reason. Find someone that is sick, and this even works in hospitals, but it works in a home, because sometimes you put forth a little more effort to do that, drive there. And as you pray at the bedside of someone who needs a healing or a miracle of God, and you take your time and do it, it's not just another prayer, which hopefully none of us pray, but sometimes prayers are longer, sometimes they're shorter. The Spirit of God will not only touch them, but the Spirit of God will touch you. What if Peter and John had not stopped to pray for the man at Gate Beautiful, or Beautiful Gate, however you want to say it? What if they said, "We're too busy. Life's too fast. I don't know, this guy, we've seen him our share of times. He obviously had been there before. They had seen him before. But this time he focused on Peter and John. And he said, "Alms." And there was something that clicked between Peter and John and this man. Now the question I want to ask us today, when's the last time you stopped to pray for someone? It's not that you don't do it. It's not that we refuse to do it or we don't want to do it. But I want to focus today. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But let me tell you, there's also a pronounced blessing and a visitation of God when you pray for people that cannot help themselves. When you pray for someone that desperately needs that. And there's some things that God just directed me to write down as I read from Acts the 3rd chapter. What if Peter and John had not been sensitive to stop and pray for the man who had been lame from his mother's womb at Gate Beautiful? Well, first of all, the miracle would not have happened. The miracle would not have happened. You say, "Well, what if I pray for someone and nothing seemingly happens?" You obeyed God. Jesus himself, there were situations when everybody was healed. But there were situations when it just didn't click because people did not respond. I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. But I know that as P.C. Nelson, who was greatly used of God in the founding of Southwestern in Waxahachie, and a man that God used in such an awesome way, very simple but very profound faith, he said that healing is part and parcel of the gospel of Christ. If Peter and John had not stopped and prayed for this man, had this dialogue with this man, the miracle would not have happened. It's not going to happen if you don't believe for it. It's not going to happen if you don't pray for it. It's not going to happen if you don't take time to release your faith. Have you ever prayed for someone and it was difficult to do? But you didn't give up. And you just kept praying. And it's not how loud or how quiet you pray. It's from your heart. You reach out from your spirit and you pray. And still nothing happens. And so you just pray in the Spirit for a while. And you just take a little time and just pray a little bit more. Jesus prayed for a blind man. And he saw men as trees. Not a completed healing or miracle of God. He prayed again and the man saw clearly. The miracle would not have happened. And let me just say this. There is a miracle inside of every born-again believer in this auditorium today. There is a power of God. There is an anointing of God. There is a miracle of God because God's word has already clearly stated, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you say, "Well, I'm not one of the real spiritual ones. Maybe my husband or my wife is the spiritual." No. There is a miracle inside of you waiting to be released. Write that down somewhere. There is a miracle inside of you waiting to be released. What if that moment Peter and John just walked on by? Walked on by. The miracle, number one, would not have happened. You'll not see people healed. You'll not see people's lives changed. You'll not see any miracles if you don't pray to believe and to see that. I know there are people that, you know, they get frustrated. And I've been in services where people prayed for and people kind of got a little erratic, you know. Hey, I'm not the miracle worker. I'm the messenger boy. And it's mine to pray. It's mine to release the faith. It's not mine to pronounce what only God can pronounce. But I'm telling us today, there are lame men and women, boys and girls, everywhere you go. There's someone everywhere you go that needs Jesus. And there is a miracle inside of you waiting to be released. Secondly, if Peter and John had not been sensitive to this moment, sensitive in the Spirit, all the people would not have seen this man's miracle. Now, every miracle is not that public. There are private miracles. There are hospital miracles. There are retirement home miracles. There are next door miracles. But where this miracle happened, can you just see the audience? Where God set the stage, it was a setup. And you don't have to be real smart, real spiritual, real intelligent, the most spiritual one in the church. Be sensitive to God's setups. Because when God involves you in a setup of God, you don't have to beat the door down. You don't have to talk them into it. You don't have to badger them with the Bible. And the Bible said, all the people saw, here in Acts chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. All the people saw, and all the people knew. We need not only to see miracles of salvation, but our world needs to see miracles of health and healing. Have you made hospital calls lately? There was a time a few years ago when there were many empty beds that I would see, and you'd go down a whole hall maybe, and in good hospitals. But all of a sudden, I know there could be maybe a ward where there might be two or three empty beds, but let me tell you something. Hospitals, by and large, are full today. Is that right? A lot of people in hospitals. And there may be a given two or three days where that's not true. But by and large, those of us that make hospital calls, hospitals are busy. Hospitals are full. You go into an ER in any hospital, and there's emergency after emergency after emergency. Not just where people are coming to seek help that can't afford help, but in your major hospitals. And here God set this thing up that all the people saw. It was initially just Peter and John. But now when the man that everybody has been used to seeing. And wait a minute. Wasn't this man the man with the cup? Wasn't this the man that we've seen begging over a period of time? He was very public because he was very outspoken in his appeals for finances. Think about it now. All the people saw it. And the Bible said all the people knew. Oh God, we cry for miracles that all the people see. And that all the people can know that it's not just that people or that group or that minister or that person. Because it's not for our glory. All glory belongs to Him. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever belong to Him. But all the people would not have seen this man's miracle. All the people saw, and they knew, and they knew. I love the way, for some reason I've not noticed the way this is laid out. But as I read it and reread it, I saw the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now there's something else here. You know, miracles produce motion. Miracles produce motion. And the Bible said, all the people ran together. And you say, you're just milking this for all you can get out of it. I'm glad you picked up on that. All the people ran together. Praise God. You know, when we heard the testimony of Mama Cruz, And the doctor's saying, the specialist saying, in all of my time of serving as an eye doctor, I have never seen anything like this. Something that should have taken days or weeks or maybe even a few months. And here this woman who says that I am going to see. I am going to see. You talk about an humbling moment. I believe it was Wednesday night when I walked up to her and I said, oh, your testimony has blessed me. And in her gracious way, she grabbed my hand. She said, one of the desires I had was to see my pastor clearly. She said, I wanted to see you and Sister Joy clearly. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? If you couldn't, you'd appreciate that. Hallelujah. Praise God. All the people ran together because Holy Ghost miracles produce motion. They produce motion. When you know God's doing something, you want to get out and get involved, right? All the people ran together. Now there's another benefit here. The name of Jesus was exalted. The name of Jesus was exalted. You know, it's kind of shocking to see some of the trends. I've had people tell me they've gone to charismatic churches, and on one occasion they said, I never heard the name Jesus. It was him or it or God, but never heard the name Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Wall to wall in this church, you're going to hear the name of Jesus. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for God Almighty, who is the Father. Thank God, our Father which art in heaven. But let me tell you something. Our Father which art in heaven has a Son. And his name is Jesus. The name of Jesus was exalted because Peter and John, they said his name through faith in this name, through faith in his name has made this man strong. I mean, this was faith all the way around. It was faith with Peter and John. It was faith with the man lame from his mother's womb. And I'm telling you, God can breathe faith into your heart. I know faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. But there are circumstances that release faith to see the supernatural from the hand of God. The name of Jesus was exalted. Oh, let the name of Jesus be exalted. Then there's a further insight here, and it's found in the 19th chapter of this third chapter of Acts. There's a prophetic word that came out of this about a mighty time of refreshing and outpouring. Been reading some this week from Smith Wigglesworth, who prophesies, and there are some powerful men and women of God, not to say the least of them, Joel. Ever heard of Joel? Or have you ever heard of Peter preaching about Joel on the day of Pentecost? And now he's repeating again something here. The Bible said in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, I'm reading this verse now from the Amplified, Peter's great beautiful message, part of it was simply this, so repent. You know, that's still a Bible word. Do you ever just humbly bow yourself before God, not in sin consciousness. And I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, but your mind and your body can be rebels. And when your mind and your body are rebels, it puts you in a gray zone where the enemy is able to come in like a flood. I want to say that again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, but if I'm careless and if I'm not conscious of renewing my mind in the Word of God and bringing my body under subjection, I can't think any way I want and live any way I want and have the blessing of God. As it's already been said this morning, you may get to heaven, but you're going to try to cash in on something that said, I'm sorry, it's not here. Because the level we live here on earth is going to determine the level we live in heaven. The level we give, I didn't say how much, I just said being obedient to God. Well, I tithe one time. No, that you didn't tithe, you gave. And I'm going to say it because it's one of the strongest things I've heard. God is calling us in every circumstance of our life. I don't mean you walk around in a straitjacket, but God is calling us, and I'm bringing myself in line with this more and more, that until we think like God thinks, and until we speak like God speaks, we can never walk in God's best. That's not bondage. That's not legalism. But I found myself this week on several occasions saying, now how does God view this? How does God look at our church in this aspect? How does God look at the different things that we endeavored? What is God thinking? And I remember I found myself with, I was tired. There was a time this past week I was tired. And I began to think tired. And I began to feel tired. And let me tell you, I got myself by the spiritual nap of my neck and I said, wait a minute, how does God think about where I'm standing here right now? His word said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I may think this way, I may feel this way, I may be this way, but I'm not going to stay this way. How does God think? What does God say about my strength and my help? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, yes. So I will say, I wait upon the Lord, and I'm of good courage, and the Lord strengthens my heart. That's what I say about it. I want to say about me what God has already said about me. You say, well, I just want to pick up my Bible and it happens. No, 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 come on. Listen, folks, here's the thing. If you stay around here long, you have heard some strong preaching and some strong teaching. And especially if you've been to Bible school, I'll tell you, I was never so blessed as the other evening when seven of our Bible school students gave some of the strongest testimonies that you'd think would only come from the lips of a minister. I mean, practical things, things where we live. You see, we've got to work the Word for the Word to work in us. God has already said in Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goeth forth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God's word is a proven success. The devil has tried to destroy it. He's tried to burn it. He's tried to annihilate it. But in spite of everything, God's word is alive and active and producing God's results in our lives today. But you got to believe that. You say, but I love God and I love my husband or my wife or my children. I come to church. That's all admirable. But I'm a tither. That's wonderful. This you ought to have done, but don't leave the other yet undone. Blow the dust off your Bible and just declare, in this situation, I'm going to think like God thinks and I'm going to speak like God speaks. I'm going to think like God thinks, and I'm going to speak like God speaks. Jesus didn't say to those disciples, get in the boat. And about midways, we're all going under. He said, let us, not you, but let us, be sure us is in the boat. Jesus and you, Jesus and me, let us go over to the other side. He did not bring you out this far to take you back again. And there's a word that I feel in my heart. You talk about the enemy, he's the master of lies and deceit. And he'll run and rerun in your thinking what hits you below the belt, so to speak. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't approach us fair. But I have a word for you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I said, you're going to make it. Say it out loud with me. I'm going to make it. I'm coming through. I'm not going under. Through Jesus, I am coming through. God loves you, period. I'm not just, listen, you know, I know there's a feel-good gospel and you're okay and I'm okay. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about living by faith. The Bible tells us four strong times, the just shall live by faith. I'm talking about putting your faith to work. It's not just because your granddaddy or your grandmother or your father or your mother or your family is born again and spirit-filled. It's because you get a grip personally on this Bible and say, I'm going to think like God thinks and I'm going to speak like God speaks. You are going to make it. Praise be unto God. Well, I didn't even get through Acts 3:19. So repent. Change your mind and purpose. This is the Amplified verse. Repent. Change your mind. How do you change your mind? You renew your mind by the reading of the Word of God. It means you don't spend all your time reading the funny paper. Or any paper. Or the Wall Street Journal. You read Heaven's Journal. It's all right to read those other things, but in balance and in sequence. So repent. Change your mind. Your mind does not change overnight. But it will change your mind and your purpose. That means what you predetermined to do. That means what you're committed to do. My purpose in life, your purpose in life is to serve Him. All right, let's stay with it and read it as it is here. So repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around. There's times we all have to turn around. I turn around and I go God's direction. I turn around. Hallelujah. Time after time when we were moving downtown or in the process of it, you'd meet the impossible and you just think, well, I've given it my best shot. There's nothing else I can do. And you turn around and about that time God says, no, turn back around. I'm still on the throne. I'm still a miracle working God. I can do what no other power can do. Turn around. Turn around. And return to God. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm an ordained minister. Or I'm a volunteer in the church. Or I've been an usher. Or, oh, you know, I've been hanging out here a long time. Let me tell you something, friend. You can wander off the trail. Doesn't mean you've done the worst thing, but it means, listen, life, you've got to determine every day of your life. I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to think God's thoughts today. I'm going to read God's word today. Today's not going to be a throwaway. And I'm not talking about religious bondage. I mean, the joy of the Lord's your strength. Man, you get God-minded, the joy of the Lord rises up within you. You get self-minded, circumstance-minded, and you go down like a rock. Turn around. Return to God. Acts the 3rd chapter, verse 19. It's a prophetic utterance about how to bring revival to you personally and to your church and to your nation. So repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around. Return to God. That your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. That times of refreshing. Revival is times of refreshing. Of recovering from the effects of heat. Of reviving with fresh air. May come from the presence of the Lord. A prophetic word about a mighty time of refreshing. Church, I'm telling you, I'm going to serve God regardless. But my hope is not just hanging in there making another day. Church, let it be said of this church that we are not going to give up, compromise, turn aside, go back. We're going to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, the land where we live. I know we live in challenging times, and politically, you know, I don't hear anybody talking about this. Surely I'm not the only one in the world that's been bright enough to catch up to the fact that we hadn't paid a dime on $7 trillion yet. I mean, surely I'm not smarter than most talk show hosts and people that make a study of this type of thing. We hadn't paid a dime on $7 trillion. But we will after the election, of course. Good timing. Folks, America doesn't need God. We must have God. We've got to have. Do you understand that? You look on the freeway and you see all the shiny wheels and, you know, in fact, of all the moaning and groaning, and I know it's been a time of recession for many, and if you don't have a job, it is a time in the natural of recession for you, and yet there are those that haven't lost a penny in the whole process. But I'm telling you, America must have supernatural, divine intervention. God gave us that in World War II, which most of you were not even born and don't remember. But there's a time when America could be speaking German or Japanese. We were caught in Pearl Harbor virtually helpless. But I saw a photo out here at we used to call it the bomber plant, and then it was Lockheed, and you know, we've gone through. But how they had line after line of those bombers, and they worked day and night around the clock, and we fought back, we came back. And God Almighty, listen, I know you say, I wasn't even born. Do you realize that things being as good as they are today are a product of God's grace and people that have shed their sweat, blood, and tears and sacrifice to keep this nation free? It's not just window dressing to say to soldiers coming home from wherever they're coming home from, we appreciate what you're doing. There are men in this congregation and probably some women too that served even back then. Folks, I'm able to preach today. You're able to sit there today. We've got an air conditioner going on. We're in a decent building today because of blood and sweat and tears and prayer and faith. And those that did not come back and those countless white crosses that you see who gave their life for our nation. You say, I thought you were preaching about a miracle. I am preaching about a miracle. America needs miracles today. We not only need miracles of healing, we need miracles of divine national repentance. We need miracles of a return to God. We need a return to the fear of God. Not the being scared of God, but the reverential respect of God. I don't do something because I'm afraid I'll get caught. I don't do something because I don't want to grieve the heart of God. And even though I'd go to heaven, suffer the consequences of that. A prophetic word about a mighty time of refreshing. Oh, let us agree with Smith Wigglesworth and some of the great hearts of years gone by. who prophesied that there would be a mightier moving of God than ever before, before the return of our Lord. If I'm dreaming, let me dream on. It's a good dream. It's a dream that will heal our nation. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's a vision. It's a cause, a prophetic word. And so it was that Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Joel prophesied this. And then Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. And now here in Acts 3:19, the same man who quoted Joel, the same man who preached on the day of Pentecost, is now saying, church, believers, whoever will hear this, repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around, return to God, that your sins may be blotted out, wiped clean, the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, and reviving with fresh air will come, may come from the presence of the Lord. The same Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost, the same Peter that quoted Joel, and the same man of God. Let me tell you something. The New Testament is all about Jesus. I said the New Testament is, well, what about Revelation? Revelation is not about the Antichrist. He's a has-been before he ever comes on the scene. You know the devil can read. He's, you got to give him that much credit. He was a very sharp part of heaven. And you know, one of the big questions I have when I get to heaven, what was the time sequence of what went wrong with him? And pew, I saw him. I don't want to get into that, but I mean, really. But he thought he had a better idea than God, and no one has a better idea than God. Pick a fight with anybody, but don't pick it with God. Surely he can read that in the last days God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, yes, he can, and that's why he's fighting some of it. You know, I'll be honest with you. The last few weeks and months, I have faced some of the most intensive spiritual warfare that I've ever encountered as a pastor. I have. And I'm telling you, every demon out of hell, it seemed, there's times. Any hour of the 24 hours a day. But you know what I'm preaching to you is what I'm walking out and what I'm living out. I'm determined to think as God thinks. I'm determined to speak what God speaks. I'm determined to preach and for this church not to be another throwaway or just church by the wayside. This to be a place where people are born again. Where people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and where people receive miracles from God, and where we see a mighty refreshing of God. Well, I've got to move on here. The name of Jesus was exalted. A prophetic word about a mighty time of refreshing. My, my. And then, here's something else. What if Peter and John had not been sensitive at that moment? I believe with all my heart, this is a message for all of us this morning. 5,000 souls, at least, there were men. 5,000 men, and not counting the women and the children, we don't know what the estimate of that could have been. It could have been a total of 10,000 or 12,000. 5,000 people got born again. What if we couldn't close the doors around here? Because every time we tried to close and lock the doors, the cars were driving up. And said, something said, go to that place and call upon God. What if when someone had some way of gauging it, that the end result would be 5,000 souls came to Jesus? 5,000 souls came to Jesus who would not have been saved. If Peter and John had not been sensitive this morning, there would have been 5,000 men, I don't know how many women and children, but at least 5,000 men would have gone into eternity without Jesus. I'm telling you, somebody's waiting on the other side of a miracle for you to come and share Jesus with them. And then a final word about, in the 12th verse, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Listen to me. There's only one name. Everything else, I love them. I respect them as Americans and people. But there's only one name that you can be saved. And I've even heard Spirit-filled people praying to the Holy Ghost. No, you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's divine order. But Jesus is the Savior. There is no other name under heaven. There is no other fraternal organization. There is no union. There is no fraternity or sorority. There is nothing else. Nothing else. No one else. Well, I pledge this or I'm... You better pledge to the Lord Jesus Christ is who you better pledge to. He's the only one that can forgive your sins and keep you. A final word, that there is no other name under heaven. There was one Jesus. There was one cross. Oh, there was one crucifixion. There was one resurrection. And there's one Savior that's coming back. He's coming back. Yes, this church believes he's... You say, well, what about caught away? I'm just planning on being on the first load out of here. Call it what you want to. Praise God. And here's what I want to just bring right into the close of this message today. Yesterday, God laid some people on my heart that haven't been able to be here for a while because they've got health issues. God said, go visit. Go by. I mean for a long time, an hour or two. No. God said, just go by, visit, pray. Pray. Go pray. And God reminded me of a time on Berry Street when more than once, when God knows we needed miracles just as much on Berry Street as we needed downtown, as we need uptown. When a call would come, and I think, man, I can't do everything. That's why we have staff. But we had less staff then. And there were people that called for prayer. I couldn't tell you how many times I had more challenges and more problems and more financial. I mean, I had more deadlines than a dog has fleas. And here I am at someone else's bedside saying, God, we need a healing. We need a miracle. Nothing. Lord, we need a healing. We need a miracle. Nothing. God, we need a healing. We need a miracle here. I'm out here 10 miles from church. I've got to preach in the morning. Need a miracle. Nothing. But oh, listen to me. Listen to me. You know, it took 7 times the prayer to for the rain to fall as it did for the fire to fall. Don't ask me why, but sometimes you got to pray a little longer. Always in faith. You pray in faith to the Father, in faith believing according to the Word of God. Amen. And then you pray in the Spirit. And sometimes you go into the zone where Satan goes crazy. Groanings in the Spirit. Nothing, 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 nothing. And then something. A healing, a miracle, a breakthrough. Don't wimp out. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Well, I prayed. Pray again. You're no better than Elijah. I'm going to get into that. Somebody want to argue that theology. All right. Oh, stop. Here's what the Spirit of God said. Take time to stop. And to seek out, if necessary, someone who needs a prayer of faith. Not for applause, not for the church to know. And at that particular time, my time, I have certain allotments of time like you do. And my body said, you need to settle down, slow down, get on in, get back home. But I did what God said to do. And as we were going home, I said, you know, Joy, we obeyed God today. I'll tell you, there's something about obeying God that time and money and possessions can never reward. When you know that you've done the right thing and no one knows anything about it except maybe whoever was the recipient of that. Well, I'll never forget crisis time. Back in the little old post office, one of our precious men. I'll never forget that old Ford truck pulled up in my driveway. And he said, Pastor, I just don't understand it. He said, I can't wait until Sunday. But he said, I've got my tithe, but God told me to bring you an offering. I said, oh. And it just happened to be miracle time. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not dressed up. Well, he didn't need to be dressed up. Hallelujah. He said, now I've obeyed God. I feel better. Isn't it good just to obey God? Just to do what you know God told you to do. Praise be unto the Lord. Here's what I want to encourage all of you. Every one of you have a testimony that you need to share with somebody. Please, listen to me. Every one of you have a testimony. You say, well, what if I don't have a big fan? Say, let me tell you something. You know, God has kept me. And I've raised some children. And we have a good church and we have a lot of good friends. And, you know, think of all the things you have to be thankful about. Hey, people need to hear thankful testimonies. You don't have to have done an overdose on heroin or cocaine or whatever. You don't have to do it. And that's too often an occurrence today. But every one of you, please listen to Pastor Nagel. Find somebody, because God's going to give you a Holy Ghost setup. Find somebody that's hurting. Find someone who is sick. Whether it's an easy find or you have to drive. Seek out someone who needs that you can pray for their need and share your testimony. You have faith. There's a miracle inside of you. In the post office building on Bear Street, we went to 7,000 homes in teams of two. And we knocked on the door during the Vietnam era. And we said, is there anything we could pray with you about? Anything we could pray with? It's amazing. It's a door opener. You have a testimony. The world is waiting for your testimony. Are you listening to me? This is not the evangelist's job alone. This is not the pastor or the staff's job alone. Tell somebody about Jesus. Share your testimony. God help me. God's given me a good job. Or God has given me a good husband. God has given me this. God has blessed me with that. Be thankful and pray for them and see what God does.